Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of your midlife. So, Marianne, we're going to talk today about Christmas and holidays and traditions, but I thought I'd start with a story. And it has to do with traditions, the tradition that we raised our kids with, which is, you know, Santa Claus brings the presents.
Right.
So when my son was about 8 years old, he came home from school one day, and it was actually right before Easter. He came home from school one day and he said, "Mommy, I have a question for you, and I already know the answer. So if you lie to me, I will never trust you again."
Oh, boy.
I said, "Okay, what's your question?" He said, "Is the Easter Bunny real?" And I said, "Well, if you think you already know the answer to that question, why do you want me to tell you? Because once I tell you, I cannot take it back. So if you really want to know, I'll tell you, but I think you should think about why you're asking that question." So he paused and he went up to his room and played with his Legos for about half an hour. And then he came back downstairs and he said, "I really want to know." So I said, "Okay. The Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus.
Oh, no.
They're all just Mom and Dad."
It's too much information.
It definitely was, because he turned as white as the whitest bunny you could imagine. And he looked at me and he said, "I didn't ask about Santa Claus." It just never occurred to me that he would make a distinction between these fictional things. But anyway, we ended up having to tell him that it was really important, now that he knew the truth, that Santa Claus was out of the bag, that he had to try to maintain the tradition for his sister, who was still 2.5 years younger than he was. So we said, "The magic of Santa Claus is the love that we have for each other. And you need to show that love to your sister. You cannot tell her. You have to still keep acting." Now, you know, so a therapist someday may say, "We totally messed our kid up with this." But, you know, you have to still make Santa be alive for her. And he did. He did. That Christmas, he slept on the sofa next to her waiting for Santa, even though he knew it was going to be my husband and I. But, you know, that's a tradition that so many families have and celebrate.
Right.
And it's kind of, it's almost a sad, a bittersweet mark of passage when Santa Claus is gone.
Right. It's true. I mean, there's some wonder and magic in it for kids. My youngest figured it out before my oldest did, which I thought was interesting because they're 2 years apart.
Oh, wow.
And he was just like, "Surely he figures it out, Mom. He knows it. He just doesn't say it." And I'm like, "No, I think he actually still believes it." And he did. And I think that as we get older and as they get older, I don't know that Christmas is less to them. It's not to me. But that excitement of seeing what Santa is going to bring is a little different than what Mom and Dad might bring.
I totally.
Except they give us the list now. They don't write them and then throw them in the fireplace for Santa. It's like, "Do you have my list? I've got one more to add. I'm texting it to you now."
You know, I still have one of Lindsay's old Christmas lists from when she was like 5. And it's like colored pencils, you know, ribbons for my hair. And now I'm like, "God, I wish she was asking for that." But that letting go of Santa Claus is, I think, like the first transition in family life and what Christmas looks like. It transitions again once the kids leave the house altogether.
It does.
So how do you keep the magic of Christmas alive when you're going through these constant changes and what it looks like? What, do you have any tips?
Well, I think you kind of said it at the beginning. I think it is about love and connection and that feeling of being able to see those individuals again in such a sacred way, a holiday way, even if the tradition has changed some of them, it's still, to me, the wonder and the excitement is all being together and being present and bringing love. You're not watching a football game. You're not there to just drop off something or have a quick meal. It really is more intentional. And I think that that's, if we do it right when our kids are young, we incorporate that anyway.
You know?
And I think that that will tend to still be very special for them because it is about family and it is about being together and not so much the gifts. Gifts are exciting, you know, and the wonder of Santa, my youngest, he's a hard one. And he was just thinking it was all a bunch of BS. Like, why do we choose that? But it'll be interesting as he's a young adult now.
When he gets married.
When he gets married and he has kids. I have a story and I wonder if I should even tell it. And it is about something about Christmas. But I remember, as you know, my husband was married before. It was very short term and he was very young. And when we had kids, it just never came up. And it's not that it was a secret. It just wasn't relevant. It was long ago, and yeah, he had been married and he had been divorced. And I actually thought, why bring it? I don't want my kids to think that anything would happen to us, that might be something. And I remember Robert and I decided, something came up and we knew that maybe an extended family member may mention it. And so we just told the boys, you don't know this, but it wasn't a secret, but Dad was married before. And I remember looking at Case, and he was probably like 12 or 13. And I said, I don't know how that makes you feel. And he goes, why would I be surprised? You lied to us about Santa. Why wouldn't you lie to us about a why? I'm like, what? So I think that there is disappointment in the kids that came out then that, we do keep this lie going and have them believe in something that's not real. And his point was, you had me believe in Santa. Why would I not? You have me not believe that you and Dad were the only,
You're only. It's funny because even though it's many, many, many years now since my kids have learned the truth about Santa, I still give the gifts that they get under the tree at Christmas still say from Santa.
Mine too.
It's kind of like there's something magical about the idea that like Santa's involved in what is mostly mom and some dad.
Well, the blue for gifts too. I blame on Santa. It wasn't even me.
I blame those on my husband.
Well, they probably were.
Yeah, they could be. I think that it's interesting because, like, we have been in the past few years, and really actually since 2020, in a real state of flux and transition in the holidays. Mm-hmm. We have, in I think it was 2021 was the year that there was that whole meltdown with Southwest Airlines.
Right.
And Harry and his wife, who were, they were dating them, but they were living in, or maybe that was 2022. They were living in California and they couldn't get home for Christmas. So we put Christmas on pause and waited and then celebrated it a week later when they arrived.
Aww.
And, it actually still felt the same. We treated Christmas Day the same way we would have. It was just a whole week later, and was minus the Christmas pageant at church, which has always been sort of a central part of our Christmas celebration. But then we moved. So the next year we had Christmas in our new apartment and everybody came in. But then last year, the kids didn't want to come out to Virginia for Christmas. They wanted to travel somewhere. So we all went to Quebec. This year, for the first time, and this is kind of heartbreaking, I will not be having both of my kids together for either Thanksgiving or Christmas because Harry's in California and Lindsay's living in London and we just can't make that work. So we're doing Thanksgiving with him and his wife and Christmas with her. So it's this constant flux. But I think the one thing that remains constant is that we try to make the day about us.
Right.
And kind of keep it slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
You get up when you get up. We have breakfast together at the table. I may even pack a couple of my Christmas plates and bring them to London so we can have Christmas breakfast on the Christmas plates. And then, you know, just kind of, we have certain traditions. We always watch A Christmas Story on Christmas Day, you know, opening the stockings
right
together.
So I think, you know, when you were talking about the first time that you're not going to have both of your kids, that's going to be for us for Thanksgiving as well. Christmas, it won't be this year. But I think that's the beginning of what it will look like in the future as well. So it is a good time to kind of establish other days around that, or even maybe, you know, a different holiday or a New Year's where it does work for everybody. Because I think in the end, it is about the togetherness. To me, that's what it's about. I will say I loved all the magic of raising children and having Christmas as a part of that. As I've gotten older, the things that I like about their transition is my kids would be up at the crack of dawn for Christmas and during the season. Like, they were always so excited, right? Now they sleep in. They're not rushing. Not that the gifts aren't great or the togetherness, but it's not like, oh, what did Santa bring? I mean, they know it's going to be there. And so it's opened up time for me. Mm. And I don't take just that Christmas day, even though that's a very special morning for me. It's the Christmas season. I love in the morning that it's quiet. And of course, we don't have the kids there the whole time, but they are there for several days. And Robert's there. Everyone tends to sleep in. I still get up at my 6 a.m. I leave. I fix a cup of coffee. I leave the lights off and I turn the Christmas lights on. And it's not that rush of the kids and just the beginning of the day. It starts out so peaceful where I can sit and just have gratitude about what's about going to unfold and have my family together. And I wouldn't trade that for anything.
You created a Christmas tradition just for you, which is
I did.
Really something people should think about, right?
Yeah.
Especially women, because we do spend all our time around the holidays making the magic happen and not really soaking in it.
It's about everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's always been, it seems. I changed my playlist. Like, I don't have the silly Christmas songs that I used to love. They're not silly, but they're more juvenile, which I still love a little bit. But I have my own, like, holiday playlist now, which speaks to me and not to everybody. And so I listen to that. The other thing that I rushed through before that I don't now is going out and getting a Christmas wreath. I do it with my husband. Mm-hmm. And we go out to Merrifield. And yes, it's expensive. They have lots of wreaths. But we spend time. It's a tradition now. We will stop and have lunch. And we decorate the house like in a way that's for us now. And we did not do that before. It was all about the kids. I was just like, okay, the lacrosse team was not, or the football team's going to knock on the door. The boosters will just grab a wreath, throw it on the door. And now I'm more intentional because it's more reflective of me.
It's interesting you say that, because I definitely feel like when my kids were younger, I was very focused on creating a Christmas experience for them that mimicked the experience that I had had, or at least the better parts of the experience that I had had, right? So, you know, we always, when I was a kid, we always, my birthday's in December. We always put the Christmas tree up just after my birthday. And that was just so that, you know, it was
you could have your birthday.
Right. It was separated. My brother's birthday was a few days later, so it was really after his birthday. But then it was different. Christmas and birthday were separated. So we got into the habit in our house of putting the tree up after my birthday. And we have like all these ornaments, some that came from Dave's mother, some that came from my family, ones that we bought. That is something I buy for my kids every year. They get an ornament in their stocking. And so we have all these ornaments that represent things that they did when they were younger. Mm-hmm. Like the ornament of the year would reflect an activity or a place we
went. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's actually really lovely now to have that. And, you know, taking them all out of their individual wrapping and decorating the tree and listening to holiday music. It was all part of recreating the experience that I had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's really been a few years now since things started shifting. You know, you can look at that shift in a couple of ways. You can be afraid of it. You can mourn it, or you can embrace it. And I think we have embraced it. And similar to you, I have really focused on creating new traditions that make sense for our life now.
Right.
That are less about mourning the fact that we don't do things the way we used to, but that make the holiday
just more fulfilling.
Right.
So we don't have, as you know, we no longer have a house to decorate. I do have a wreath on the door of our apartment. But last year, we didn't even put up a tree because my birthday is December 15th, and we left on the 18th to go up to Canada. So there's no point in putting up a tree. Mm-hmm. But we had lights everywhere.
That's
strings of lights.
Festive.
And poinsettias and things mm-hmm. that were like, it still said Christmas, but it didn't involve all of the, you know, putting up the tree, unwrapping right. all the things.
It's a lot of work. It's labor of love.
It is. But then that meant we came downtown and saw the national Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Because that was our Christmas tree moment. So it's just sort of building new traditions to replace the ones that it just makes sense to let go of.
Yeah.
And not mourning letting them go, because there's something new and different that you can do.
That's wonderful. And more meaningful personally, even though the other was meaningful. But I think I spent a lot of time trying to make it perfect for my family. And, you know, the food, I mean, I've even shifted that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if somebody doesn't like it, I'm not going to serve yams when no one's going to eat them because it's tradition.
Right.
It's like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So, and my kids speak up about it. It's like the food was, you know, they didn't always love it. They love the ham, mashed potatoes. One thing I've been thinking about, and I'll do it this year. I grew up with Yorkshire pudding all the time at Christmas because, as you know, my mother's Scottish, and she always loved to roast and all that. Though we would do, my dad, his American traditions always lent itself to having a turkey. But some of those fruitcake, I did it for my mom. This out, it's gone.
Yeah,
but that was a childhood.
Hey, you know what? Culinary tastes have changed over time. So why is the Christmas menu stuck in the 1850s?
That's true. I mean,
it should change.
Yeah.
Our Christmas dinner is much more democratic. Like mm-hmm. when we are together, like, what are we going to have? Of course, last year we ate in restaurants, so that was completely different.
Yeah.
There is one tradition I won't let go.
What?
And in fact, I've doubled down. And it's because I love my daughter and I love that she loves this. You know the movie White Christmas?
Yes.
Probably the last 5 or 6 years, every year, she and I put White Christmas on, we order Chinese food, and we watch the movie while we wrap the Christmas gifts, because she and I do all the wrapping. And we just love that. Last year, I actually found online women's silk pajamas with images of all the characters in White Christmas.
Aww.
And so I got her and I matching pajama sets, and we put on our matching pajamas and ordered orange chicken and watched White Christmas. And we're going to be doing Christmas with her in London this year, but those pajamas are going
with you.
Because the night before Christmas, we are putting on the pajamas and we're ordering Chinese food from somewhere.
Aww.
And that's what we're going
to
do.
That's fantastic. I think it's nice to add things like that with the kids. Last year and the year before, we did the Kennedy Center on the 23rd. Dinner in the Kennedy Center, and we're doing that again this year. So that's kind of an adult tradition that I would not have done. I mean, we love theater, but in general, that's not something I would have done at 10 and 12 years of age for them, or 8. So I like the evolution of things changing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about my own childhood, and I have great Christmas memories, but the one that stands out the most for me as a child is finally feeling like I lived in Christmas. And I will say, up until the point when I moved to the United States, Christmas Santa came on a surfboard. It was summer.
Right.
You could probably talk to your daughter-in-law about it. So all the TV things were, some of them were specific for Australia, but not really. It was Australian Christmas. A little bit like how we lived it, because it's hot. But if you want to enjoy Christmas movies, they're all American and they're in English and they're all with snow and snowmen and Santa in the sleigh and the snow's falling. And I felt so cheated.
Right.
Like, what the heck? And when we moved to Arkansas, it snowed that year at Christmas. And I felt like I lived in this picture perfect nostalgic, you know, Christmas.
Right.
It was wonderful with a fire, like a fire was going. That's not happening in Australia.
But, you know, holding those very special memories of very special Christmases
mm-hmm.
and accepting that you can't necessarily replicate that, and that's okay.
Yes.
It's still a memory that's so precious
and
it embodies what Christmas means. For me, it was when the kids were small, I was the director of the Christmas pageant at church. And it was packed. I mean, there were, it's always packed at Christmas Eve.
It is.
And it was cold. It was not expected to snow. And it really was like a white Christmas moment, because we went in, the Christmas pageant happened. When we left the church, it had snowed while we had been in church. And everything was blanketed with white. And it was so unexpected and so perfect.
Magical.
It was very magical. And I hold the memory of that specific Christmas very dear, mm-hmm. even though it hasn't happened since. I did subsequently direct the Christmas pageant again. Didn't snow the next time. But that's okay. It's okay to kind of keep those memories close.
And that's adult wonder.
Yes.
That is adult wonder. And there are still pieces of things that can be magical in our Christmas season, just like what you said.
And your mornings, your Christmas mornings.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. It would, I've never asked my kids like what they thought about like what Christmas meant to them and what it means now. I think I'm going to do that.
Actually, that's an incredibly insightful observation. I never have either. I wonder if people do, or if we do Christmas the way we think it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be really interesting to ask my kids what they think it ought to be.
Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah.
And what things they enjoyed most that could be moved forward, you know? I know that at their age, they like to sleep in now. And you only get up for Santa anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to get up for mom and dad's gifts. It's funny.
Right.
It's, other things. I think I'm going to do that, because I do still want to create something that's special to them. And once we have grandchildren, it'll be interesting to see what traditions both of those parents bring to the holidays. You know, we always had a real tree. And a few years ago, I started having itching and hives being around a real tree.
Oh, my
gosh. So, yeah.
Your literature.
Just out of the blue. Don't say that. To the tree anyway.
The tree.
So we went to Merrifield and got a really nice faux tree. I'm not going to use that other word that starts with A or F. They both start with it. But faux tree. And it's all lit and it's absolutely beautiful. But now I buy candles that have the scents of fur. It's like, yeah. Anyway.
Actually, that's, I do a lot of candles at the holidays. I love the smell of them. I love the light, the flicker.
You do candles. You've given me a few candles that are, they're delicious.
I love candles.
They are delicious.
Yeah.
You have good taste in candles.
Why, thank you.
No, you really do. They're not a cheesy smell. They're good smells. I have one at my house right now that I'm burning.
I got one for a Christmas gift last year
mm.
that I kept for a long time. And instead of burning it, I put it under a hot thing, a hot light. So
that works.
Yeah. It took a long time before the scent dissipated. And the wax, actually, most of it remained.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never thought about that.
But I got that from you. That's a gift that you gave me. Your house always smells delightful.
Yeah, I do. I like my candles and incense, but mainly candles.
And so at Christmas time, that's an easy way to instill that sense of Christmas mm-hmm. is to get Christmas-scented candles. Fur, or better yet, something with the smell of cinnamon, like cookies. Because my mom,
it just makes me hungry.
That is a Christmas tradition. And honestly, that's a hill I will die on. I'm trying to lose some weight, but I cannot give up on Christmas cookies. I love cookies at Christmas time.
I just started, I always made some cookies, but now I ventured out on my Christmas cookies. And my niece-in-law, Marcy's mother, makes incredible Christmas cookies. And she was so kind and gave me like four different recipes. And so that's what I do now. And that's fun. I didn't do it before. I did sugar cookies, mm-hmm. you know, and just decorated and that kind of thing. But no, it's evolved into a better Christmas cookie.
That's part of the love that is the essence of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we all experience love through food
yeah.
and through sharing cookies with, if you do a cookie exchange or even just make them as a gift for someone,
yeah.
that's an expression in my heart. That's an expression of love. We also, last year, one of our mutual friends hosted a girl's gift exchange.
Those are fun.
And that's, you know, that's sharing the love, not just with your family, but with the people that are dear to you outside of your family. And I think that's a special tradition too.
That's kind of an adult thing, you know, which I think that when you think about family and gratefulness and just finishing up the year with the holidays, that's a nice thing to incorporate, is your friends and not just family. Mm-hmm. I think it's I actually think that's really important.
I do too, because they're part of what I want to celebrate, that I consider to be a real gift in my life.
What's the connections? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why Thanksgiving, all those end of year traditions, it is the connection. It's coming together. People, like, I remember my parents putting us in our station wagon and driving from Arkansas certain years up to St. Louis. And it was about that family connection, not just the immediate, but it is those connections. I wonder how often family would actually see each other across the country if it wasn't for the holidays. Because it's so deliberate.
That is an excellent question. It is the time where you make the effort to get together. Some people don't, sadly.
Yeah.
But for most people, that's like the punctuation point of family. Like, you have to be together for the holidays.
Yeah, and that is their tradition.
Yes.
Is to all see each other and be together, even if it is just once a year.
Mm-hmm.
We always did that for Christmas. My family always had Thanksgiving together. With my family, we go to Texas now for Thanksgiving, and Christmas is at our house. But that may change in the future. But I like the holidays, but it truly is because of the connection. I get to see people. I know there's lots of stories how holidays just fall apart as well.
That would be a cool podcast. Holidays gone by.
I haven't had a lot of that. I did have a little bit of that last year at Thanksgiving. I think for the first time. And it's like, wow, well, I got through 58 years, through 58 years and didn't have to experience what just happened to people like all the time or often.
Every year.
And I think that I love the Christmas movies, and we do watch Christmas movies. As you know, I'm the only female, so I will tell you it's nothing at Hallmark. I'm in a male house. We all will watch The Christmas Story, and I love The Christmas Story, but the rest is Chevy Chase's Christmas, Elf. It's all like boy humor more than girl.
That may change.
Like kind and romantic kind of thing.
That's going to change now that you're going to have a daughter-in-law.
That you're right. And you have the daughter, so it's probably a nice mix.
It's a good mix.
Yeah. And I think, you know, my family and the three men in my life, they're just about humor. So, of course, it lends itself to humorous television, but I live in a sitcom anyway. So sometimes I like to escape to something else.
So I'll end with a story.
Sure.
Which has to do with humor and holidays. One of our favorite family movies. So Lindsay and I love White Christmas, and we always watch A Christmas Story. But our favorite family movie is Elf.
Yeah.
So last year, we went to Quebec for Christmas, and I wanted to make sure we had a little something to celebrate around because we were going to be in a hotel. So we bought a full-size cardboard cutout of Will Ferrell dressed as Elf, and we set it up on Christmas morning in our hotel room, and we bought the Christmas stockings. That was what the kids got, just stockings. And we put them around Elf. And then we ordered breakfast up to the room. And when the room service guy came in, he opened the door and he was like, whoa! Because there was Will Ferrell. But he was our Santa.
Yeah.
So Santa maybe ended when Harry was 8 years old, but
Elf exists. Elf. That's great. That's a great way to wrap it up. Hope everybody enjoys their holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone.